Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the occasion of the publishing of the financial results of the second quarter 2017. For your information, this conference will be taped. And at this point, I would like to hand over to Allianz. Good morning, our CEO, Oliver Bäte, will first of all present to you our half-year results. And after that, our CFO, Dieter Wemmer, will be talking, and following that, you will have the opportunity, as usual, to ask your question. Mr. Bäte, please. Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Thanks for taking the time. We're glad about your interest, and I'm especially glad to present to you today the half-year results of Allianz Group. And following the overview, as you've just heard, Mr. Wemmer will then guide you in detail through the figures. Allianz is a conservative company, but nevertheless, we've decided to call our results in the first 6 months of the year 2017 outstanding on our first slide, because we're really glad about these results. And it's due to the fact that all business segments have participated in this success. All business segments had great results in the first half of the year. I'll present the figures to you in a minute. And all that in spite of what's still a very difficult competitive environment for us. We're still dealing with low interest rates. Other than what's being told, we don't see rising interest rates either in the U.S. or in Europe. Quite to the contrary, we've had influences through the devaluation of the U.S. dollar. Then there were several events, political events like Turkey, for example, and the consequences of Brexit. But all of these challenges also put up opportunities, and we'll try to seize them wherever possible to improve our market position. Now, let me get through the group figures on page one. The total revenues compared to the previous year, 66.2 billion, that's 2.3% up compared to the previous year. The operating profit, almost 16% above the previous year, and the shareholders' net income has increased to 3.8 billion plus 18% almost. In property and casualty, when it comes to revenues, we had an increase of 1.8%, and all of that in spite of negative one effects, as for example from Turkey. The operating results grew by 5.2% to 2.7 billion euros, and the combined ratio fell from 94.9 to 94.6% in spite of a significant reduction of runoff results. In life health, we saw another increase of revenues, and after the successful restructuring of a new business, as you will see in our new business values, we've started to grow again. We're glad that Allianz is back on the attack. The operating profit grew to 2.3 billion euros plus 22.7%. And when it comes to new business margin, we've reached 3.3%. Our goal was, as you might remember, 3% for the end of the year 2018. That is to say, if we stay to this, we've already reached the result for the renewal agenda, which was planned for the end of 2018, now at the end of the first half of 2017. When we look at asset management, that's extremely positive, an increase of 10.1% to 3.1 billion, operating profit up 20.4%, and the cost income ratio went down to 62.9%, minus 3.2 percentage points. The net inflows of net third parties were at 74.3 billion euros, and in dollar, U.S. dollar, we had the strongest third-party asset net inflows ever. So under the active asset managers, we're currently the ones with the strongest net inflows. And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad about these first 6 months, because we have reached, as we said here, outstanding results. On page two, you can get an overview that gets beyond figures, showing you where we stand in the implementation of our renewal agenda. Let me start with the most important topic, customer centricity. We have more than 100 so-called customer journeys. These are customer journeys across a whole business process, like, for example, claims handling. And we've rolled this out in 29 countries. And we're profiting not just from the implementation, but also from a systematic improve of results in these areas. And in the future, we'll be just as we can just give the same precise outlooks here in customer satisfaction as we can regarding our financial figures. When it comes to digital, by default, the network of digital factories has been set up and has started to run. We have new digital assets implemented, like, for example, the onboarding of life insurance customers. And also in motor claims, we're now working on a global digit asset library, so the reusability of digital assets across business models and across country borders. When it comes to the implementation of productivity gains of more than 1 billion by 2018, we're on the way here, but there will be a stronger focus in this over the course of the next year, because we need to do more, especially when it comes to sustainable productivity gains. So it's not about short-term restructurings, but about continuous improvements of our productivity over longer periods of time using digital technology. A lot needs to be done in this regard. We also need some investments in management and employee know-how here, so that we can really invest into new business models here. Then the third important area at Allianz is technical excellence. And we're not talking about IT here. We're talking about our core business, about asset management and insurance. And you can see this well reflected in the improved underwriting result in PC. Also, the new business margin in life is well ahead of our target values. And when it comes to the new business mix, Mr. Wemmer will talk about this in more detail, but we're coming very quickly towards the target values for 2018, so we're right on track in this regard. And when it comes to growth, we've done quite a bit. For example, PIMCO, the record third-party net inflows, we've described this, and investment performance is back on track. We've introduced new partnerships, both in Germany but also in Asia, and also on the digital level, for example, with the leading new companies, we've become shareholders and become a partner for the most important innovators across the world. And I'm really glad about this. After longer negotiations, we've been able to enter into a partnership with LV in the UK, and I'll talk about this in more detail in a minute, so that our market position in the United Kingdom will be improved systematically over time. Then, furthermore, we're working intensively on the change of our culture. A lot needs to be done in this regard, so not just regarding the results we reach, but also how we lead at Allianz. To seize the scale of Allianz, we have to motivate our employees more to drive ahead the changes. We need to invest into skills, and we need to ask ourselves how we can lead our employees, not just content-wise, but also when it comes to motivation, and we spend a lot of energy on that. Now, let me shortly talk about our partnership with LV in the UK. We've entered into a highly innovative form of cooperation. Let me just explain the background of Liverpool Victoria. It is an absolutely leading company when it comes to customer satisfaction, which I'm especially glad about in the UK. We've decided to cooperate with them when it comes to P&C insurance. In the first step, Allianz will acquire 49% of the general insurance business, of the P&C business, of LV for 500 million British pounds, and LV will keep 51% in its first step, but then there will be a second step in the fourth quarter of 2019. Then Allianz will acquire a further 20.9% in LV, so that we'll have a total stake of close to 70%, so that we will then consolidate this business. Through this, we'll combine the brand strength and the strong position in direct insurance, which LV has built up in UK, in in general insurance, and we combine this with the financial power and the expertise, our pricing and underwriting abilities of Allianz. And we also bring reinsurance and capital investment into this joint venture so that we can seize the best of both worlds in the future with this joint venture. It's a new way for Allianz, and we'll seize the LV brand in the direct business in the UK because we're convinced that it enjoys the trust of the customers in UK, while the agent business or in the UK will be led under the Allianz brand, where we have the trust of customers and intermediaries. So a highly innovative form of cooperation. And this joint venture will have 6 million policies, not exactly the number of customers, but gross premiums will amount to 1.7 billion British pounds, which makes us the third largest personal insurer. I don't know if you add HCCS and commercial business through this, we should be maybe the second largest P&C insurer in the UK. Now, why is that important? In November 2015, we said that in the markets in which we're present, especially in Europe, we need to get into leading positions to be at the forefront of the digital world. And we also said that we need to strengthen the direct business with our customers. And we also need to take a leading position when it comes to customer satisfaction. And in our partnership with LV, we can reach all these three objectives in one step because we need to reach the right scale of business, because we drive ahead our direct business here, and because in sum, we'll be amongst the top three players in the British markets with this effect. So we're highly satisfied about these strategic changes. And the partnership with LV has been developed over the past year. And I'm also glad that Allianz will try to support LV in the life insurance business when it comes to capital management, to reinsurance, and other fields. And it's difficult business in the UK. We'll be glad to answer more questions about this topic over the course of the press conference, but now I would like to come to operating profit and the outlook for the remainder of 2017 on page 4. So first, the message and the last line, based on the successful first half of the year, we expect to reach the upper end of our target range for the full year, unless there was a major capital market correction or an increase in the number of natural catastrophes. And that is due to the fact, the expectation is due to the fact that we've seen positive developments in all segments. You can see here the expected outlook which we had and where we stand in now in the actual value for the midpoint. And you can see that we're above the midpoint for all these, all segments. So we're optimistic that we can reach the upper end of the target range. So before I hand over to Mr. Wemmer to guide you through the details, I would like to show you page 5, ladies and gentlemen. In 2015, we laid out our plans, and all of Allianz is now working on the implementation of the renewal agenda, which is positive for all our stakeholders, for the customers through customer centricity, for our sales partners who can have more successful and better products that they can sell, but also for our employees who can see growth again, and also for our shareholders, which is reflected in the share price of Allianz, and I'm especially glad and thankful for the trust of our shareholders. That's it from my side, and I'll now hand over to Mr. Wemmer. Well, thank you, Mr. Beth, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Beth, has focused a bit on the half-year figures, and we already discussed the first quarter in our last press conference. So I'll focus on the development in the second quarter. We'll be using the analyst press conference and the analyst presentation, and I would like to start on page 5 of the presentation. In the second quarter, we had an operating profit of 2.9 billion. Approximately the same figure as last year. The volume increased to 30 billion and our shareholders' net income doubled to almost 2 billion. The doubling looks fantastic, but last year in the second quarter, we had some write-offs to take also on equities as a consequence of the uncertainties following the Brexit referendum, and that led to this sharp incline now. But the operating result with a plus of 22% really shows the operating changes. Before I get into the individual segments, just a short overview about the balance sheet figures and the shareholders' equity, the development in these areas. 64 billion at the half year is a little less than in the first quarter, but we have 3.4 billion which we paid out in dividends, and we had a share buyback to the tune of 1 billion euros. Therefore, adjusted for these effects, we still have a slightly increased shareholders' equity. The solvency ratio, 219%. We have a management range of 180 to 220%. So what does it mean that we have an increase of close to 8 percentage points? Well, as we have reserves for dividend and share buybacks all the time, that simply means that we have another 2 billion free surplus, which we've generated over the course of this quarter after the assumed dividend payout of 50%. I won't go into all the details of the solvency ratio changes, but you can say that the market, with the slight increase of interest rates, but also with the development of credit spreads, the reduction especially in European bonds, through this the market contributed to this positive change. So I'd say 4 percentage points can be attributed to interest rate changes. Now, the first segment we'll be looking at is P&C. In the second quarter, we only had an increase of revenues of below 1%. Unfortunately, there are headwinds in two areas that we need to deal with. First of all, we have Turkey, where the government declared a price reduction of 30% or set a price reduction of 30% for all motor insurances, and therefore revenues have dropped significantly in Turkey, as we are the market leaders in motor insurance there and have been hit quite a bit by that. So that led to reduction of our growth by close to 1 percentage point. And then at AGCS, we've come to the end terms in crop business, and that is part of the reduction, and also a special business with major customers where we have lead complicated or complex financial transactions in our subsidiary ART, Allianz, where we had one-off effects last year, which we didn't have in this quarter, but this will be balanced over time. The most positive developments we've seen at Allianz Worldwide Partners, plus 21.3%, that continues the growth story of the first quarter. Then this is driven by international travel insurance in many markets, especially in the United States, and also our health insurance offers, which we've introduced in the Middle East with a new or intensified partnership that really supported our growth in Dubai. Now, switching to page 13, the underwriting results has driven our operating profit growth in P&C, plus 328 million in underwriting results. the combined ratio reduced by close to 3% compared to the previous year. And then, of course, everyone will say this is due to the lower number of natural catastrophes, because NatCat impact was reduced from 4.4 to 1%. But we also have a reduced runoff ratio, which went down from 6.5 to 3.8%. 3.8 is closer to our long-term average over the past 10 years. The 10-year average of second-year results was at 4.0%, so that was really in line with this average. Looking at all the volatilities, runoff ratio, net cat impact, and so on, we see an improvement of a combined ratio of 1.7 percentage points in the second quarter 2017 compared to the previous year's quarter. The expense ratio increased a little bit. That was in part due to higher commission sets, especially in our strongly grown AWP business that I just talked about. But another fact is that we haven't reached the productivity improvements which we need to have for the future. Also, our administration costs went up slightly. Now coming to page 15, looking at the combined ratios of the major countries, you can see that the good results don't just stem from one country, but that we have a broad basis that led to the improvements, a broad basis across the whole organization. A combined ratio of over 100% is only existent in Latin America. That is to say, 3% of our premiums in the second quarter were above 100% combined ratio, which is the lowest result we've reached in many years, which shows that our strategy of technical excellence and of price discipline in underwriting has paid off, which is well documented in these figures. Switching to page 17, the second part of the positive development in our P&C segment is that the interest rate result has remained on the previous year's level, which would have been a sad statement 10 years ago. But after many years of declining interest rates, that is a glimmer of light on the horizon, which doesn't mean that interest rates have started to increase. You can see on the top right of the chart that we had to reinvest at slightly lower interest rates than in the previous year. But in the second quarter, also, thanks to our investment strategy of not just investing into bonds, which is what is reflected here on the top right, but also to go into alternative investments to increase the equity ratio and all that. Through this, we've increased kept our current income more or less stable. Let me now switch to the life health business here. The strategic change is the most visible from my point of view amongst our three segments. In the new business margin, we've reached 3.4% in the quarter, which is slightly above our strategic goal of 3%. The new business mix has improved over the last two quarters. We have similar figures as in the previous 8 or 10 quarters, so the trend has really established into a new business mix. So it's not just a one-off effect or change process, but it's part of an implemented strategy which is well reflected in the figures. In the United States, also in the second quarter, the volume was lower than in the previous year. The changed guidelines for regarding consumer information, which products you can offer in an unrestricted way to the customers the rules for commission fees and all of that. That is all part of the slogan DOL, Department of Labor, and it's comparable to what Brussels wants to roll out on the Basel II for the consumers and manufacturers in this regard. Then, was that introduced and was stopped for a short time, but then still introduced. And through this, the market and the sales channels haven't fully aligned to the interpretation of the new rules. That is why we're currently going through a phase of uncertainty, if you wish, and that affects our sales results. But that was more than balanced by all the other countries. That is one of the other countries in which we are strong in life insurance. All over, we had a growth of 30% in new business, and that shows how well how strong our business is in this regard. Germany had relatively weak figures here in new business, but we also had a volume increase, a volume push over the past years. So that was already included here. So let's get on to page 21, 1.1 billion operating profit, another 12% increase on the excellent 1 billion of the previous year. So strong figures overall. The technical margin stands out somewhat. That was the major push which led to the improvement. But that was more due to negative effects which we had in the previous year, which were not repeated this year. And therefore, I think the 1.1 billion is a great figure. But we're always cautious ourselves in how investment results will develop over time. That is why we see our normalized results at 1 billion per quarter. So 4 billion for the year, which is a very strong contribution of our life health segment. And I would like to explain this a bit when looking at the individual markets on page 23. The value of new business increased to 469 million, which is close to 40% more than in the previous year. The U.S., even though in volume it's currently struggling a bit, has been struggling a bit. Here in profitability, we've seen an increase so that the value of new business, so the product of volume and margin, increased furthermore. Italy, France, strong growth across the board, but we shouldn't forget our region Asia Pacific. And I think now, after the sale of Korea, we can now show that something that we're well positioned in the smaller countries in Asia Pacific and do have significant volumes there and can reach significant growth figures. So let me now come to page 25. That's the test which we perform against the low interest rate environment, whether we can pay our guarantees. And I would like to underline 2 points. Our current yield at 1.1% remained unchanged, whereas the guarantees, they also look unchanged here, but they dropped 1 or 2 base points, while the average yield remained unchanged. So we keep the gap between average interest rates and guarantees. In absolute figures, our investment margin grew by a good 3.5%, and that is exactly the growth of reserves and assets. So those were absolutely in line. So this is volume-driven profit growth with unchanged net margins. Page 27 is a chart which is only partially linked to Allianz, but as we're discussing these topics so often, Allianz has a strong balance sheet. But isn't it alone in the German life insurance market, and couldn't this lead to market troubles and all that? And I think on this chart, which was published after the Solvency and Financial Condition reports, which was published for all German companies, we collected a short image here, which shows which percentage of the market has which solvency ratio, and I think you can well see that the market overall, especially when it comes to the larger market shares, is well, very well capitalized, and that we don't need to be concerned that much that Allianz might be there as the only company with a strong balance sheet. And I think it's good if you are a strong company in a strong competitive field.
Going to asset management, I believe the good news and the outstanding information have been documented, and I can see it in the figures. Our assets under management are the same, remain the same in the past 3 months, but that is also because it's just because of the weaker dollar and the great inflows that we had for Allianz Global Investors and PIMCO were balanced because of the exchange rate of the dollar. So the inflow at PIMCO is 51.6 billion euros. That is $55 billion. That is on a historic high. Even in the top years of the gross quarters, we've never had such a high inflow. However, we need to say this includes an individual order of amounting to 20 billion, and the rest is 30 billion, that which are the daily inflows from many customers into different products. And that is a great success. The individual mandate is also a great success, but you cannot expect that this is going to be repeated regularly. PIMCO renders great results in its performance of its product. The asset management market in general, but also in particular in the U.S., where competition is happening between active and passive funds, where it is happening stronger than it has done in Europe at the moment, the active funds with first quartile or top quartile performance are the winners. And the others have to fight for the money, or they're losing the money to the passive funds. That is why this is a market which is in, you know, shows a lot of competition, and having these results in such a market is very good. And then the last page showing the revenues is PIMCO revenues 8% higher and Allianz Global Investors 4% higher, and the margins in PIMCO have remained unchanged almost. Allianz Global Investors has seen a slight reduction of the margin. I think we talked about that last time because of the ROGGE acquisition from last year that improved the average margin. But on the other hand, we also have outflows from the active equity flow funds into lower fee funds. Page 33, increased by 8% revenues and a cost reduction. This results in to 17% of operating profit, 584 million euros. That is a very strong result from the asset management. Cost income ratio, 3 percentage points down. And specifically, when we look at PIMCO loan, 58.8 takes us below our target of 60% that was posted for 2018 as strategic target. At the end, I'd like to cover the corporate segment. No particular changes. 224 million costs for the group as net result. So that means I can go to page 37, 2.9 billion operating income, and the realized gains balance out the costs of our external debt. We've got 115 million of restructuring charges in the quarter. We had almost no amortizations. The 59 million basically comes from the liquidation of Banco Popular as regards the impairments of 59, which leads to an income before tax of 2.9 billion, 800 million taxes. That comes to a very good net income of 2 billion euros. The tax rate is a bit lower than normal because some realized gains are tax exempted, whereas Banco Popular impairments is completely tax deductible in Spain. Yeah. That leads me to the end of my presentation. And now we are ready for your questions. Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press asterisk 1 and number 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that your mute data file is deactivated so that we can hear you. If you find that your question was answered already, you can also withdraw your question by returning your question by star 2. Our first question comes from Michael Fleming from Burton Zeitung. Mr. Beete, Mr. Fleming from Burton Zeitung, first of all about the acquisition in Turkey and thirdly about the restructuring costs. To the acquisition, Mr. Beete, could you just outline the growth targets you will see within this market with this joint venture? What about the profitability? And why do we have? Why did you choose such a complex step-by-step acquisition procedure? The second question relates to Turkey. You said that the revenues are strongly slumping there. What does that mean for the profitability of this OE? Because it's not the first time that an authoritarian regime intervenes with the pricing design of Allianz. What is your position on that? And the third question about restructuring cost of 15 million euros that was the target in Germany and Allianz Technology. Now, for these two projects, does this cover all the costs that you have budgeted, or do you expect any further another quarter? Let's start with LV and then pass on to Mr. Wemmer with regard to Turkey and then restructuring costs. As regards the LV acquisition, the direct market in UK, like in all other European markets, is growing as a strong share, which is the most important platform. After we have tried unsuccessfully, that's why we closed that part. And so we thought, okay, well, how can we be in a market and be successful in a market where you see a lot of innovations? And now with LV, we found a partner where we will be successful with. Particularly, we know that the brand strength and customer satisfaction is becoming more and more important, apart from price efficiency. for customer decisions. That means if you want to earn money, more money than capital cost, that means you need to be outstanding in service, and LV is the perfect platform for that. And you also ask, why is it complicated? That is due to the structure of LV as a friendly society. And in this transition, we want to optimize the capital position of the LV group. And that's why this required this structure, in order to ensure that all the interests would be safeguarded. And also tax optimizations also play a role in the design of this individual question. Unfortunately, this could not be done in a simpler manner, but the target is very clear in the structure. As you can see, Allianz is the important driver of this commitment as it comes to the capital structure and using the synergies. On the other hand, we are quite happy that, I mean, the operating team, we're using it, and we can combine it with the best people from Allianz and the best people from Liverpool Victoria. Management will stay with the existing CEO in LV for retail, and best of both worlds. And then also we also add our corporate assets, pricing know-how, and digital assets. We expect that we will be jointly able to be successful and building it up into a leading competitor in UK. That strengthens the profile of the group and the importance of direct insurance in the P&C business decisively. And it shows also that Allianz has been flexible in the choice of their flexible business models. In the past, they used to say that it always has to be Allianz, but of course we need to be more flexible and to add more. And also we have different brands in different niches, and we have the pet plan that is definitely one of the leading pet insurances, which is fully consistent with our strategy. In terms of profitability, we see, particularly after the consequences of Ogden, we see a better profitability in the UK, but it's a highly competitive market, there's no question about that. And therefore, you need to assume a leading position, because you cannot be in a niche and to perform under scale. You need to have a leading platform, and with this step, you will definitely make that step. And it also shows that we can be a good partner for these big companies. And so the insurance associations work in a different world, and so that's why there's a lot of struggle. And so this equation will no longer apply, and Allianz is happy about the confidence that the oldest friendly society of Great Britain gave to Allianz. Yeah, Turkey is not the first time that something like that happens, and being the market leader in Turkey, we are particularly affected by that, and we play highest importance on having a long-term commitment that we have with the predecessor entities since the establishment of the Republic. And we want to make sure that we also get prepared to these changed framework conditions, and also we make sure that the framework conditions, which are completely unfair for the insurance industry, will be corrected within the next few months. But in the meantime, we have to make sure that we safeguard the interests of our customers and shareholders, and also of our employees, and that we do not write unprofitable business for these. We have measures, and Mr. Bema is going to explain these measures. Good morning. Right. The profitability of Turkey is insured for this year, and we have much more interest revenues than expected, because Turkey is a low interest country, like the euro is in 12% of an average interest rate. But it is definitely, this is going to be such a strong intervention into the rate autonomy, even if it takes longer, that leads to a market adjustment. And that's the market leader. And that's why it's always a midterm opportunity. And that's why we need to be patient. And we should not get into panics. And also the question for the reorganization course, for the two initiatives, and also the target picture 2020. The costs are fully booked now. And when you book a reorganization cost, then when we book them, they go through a complicated coordination process, and then have been coordinated with all the bodies, and so that the costs would be fully covered. But your question, Mr. Fleming, was also, was that it? No, that was not that it, and Allianz is going to change and further develop, and for further investments and simplification with regard to cybersecurity for the topic of global infrastructure, cloud, many, many millions of investments are going to follow, and some other restructuring measure will come, and we are in the process of changing it, and that's going to change, and it's going to continue. One further question about LV? Sure. And the flexibility in the brand, could that also be a brand for other markets? No, that's very specifically applying to the UK, because the LV brand has such an outstanding importance, and where it is being very popular in their brand, and our brand is very strong in the broker market, in the B2C market, where broker business will be Allianz, and in the B2C business, it's going to be LV. And what about other regions? Would you continue that in other countries? Well, we do have other markets where we look at brands and other partnerships, but it's not a general strategy. We always decide market by market. Thank you very much. Stefan Bayer from DTA. Good morning. I would also like to know about LV as well. Analysts complain that the profit outlook do not lead to the key mark of the 1 billion, and the combined ratio is no better than an Allianz. And so if the deal of in terms of price would be okay, whether it actually leads where you want to go, the question was that. And also secondly, the Brexit. Does the Brexit mean anything for that deal, or would you say, I mean, that is domestic business in Great Britain and we will own it anyway, that's why it doesn't matter? And something completely different, you mentioned the NatCats end of June in Q2, and then there was something early of June, and then we had pouring rain and full basements in Germany everywhere. Can you say something about the claims? I don't know which analysts you mean. Probably that's only a spontaneous reaction. We have to look at the details that Mr. Wimmer is going to explain later on. Quite importantly, in our portfolio strategy in 2015, we said that in our core markets, we're moving forward systematically, and we have to move forward because of our scales, and that's why the partnership, by 2019, it would get the number two or number three. With AGCS, we are in the UK, and we have Hugh Hermes in the UK, we've got the pet plan, and also we are operating under the Under Allianz brand. We are somewhere between two and three, and we're going to keep on investing into the UK. We need to do it smartly. We've received questions about acquisitions. I can only say it's so difficult because the markets are overrated on the share side, and that also has an effect on the pricing of M&A at the moment. That means it's going to be quite difficult for our shareholders to get the right returns if you're not particularly careful. And specifically in this case, we managed with this LV partnership to achieve both the first to significantly strengthen our market position and also at the same time doing this at prices that fits to what we want to do. That requires a lot of discipline and a lot of hard work and detail. And also, again, thanks to our team and the team at LV in order to accomplish that. We're going to continue. Just put money on the table just to buy revenues that is something Allianz would never do. Further to claims and NatCats, well, we are being paid that we are paying for damages. And, I mean, that might be a naive answer, but Mr. Wimmer will talk about the concrete figures. When you look at the second quarter, we had a combined ratio of below 95%. 4.7 point were spent for this mid-range weather events. That's why we would be well equipped for the third quarter. We had the two storms in northern Germany in the second quarter. which were a little bigger, and I think the ones in the third quarter weren't that dramatic. And that means I think we are well prepared, and the damage also have a good, you know, side effect that people remember the good value of insurances, and that's why we also really strengthen our core business. LV and the size of this and the volume of the profit, the volume increase in the UK, and also the possibilities over time to generate a highly efficient business and to establish such business, I believe we have a very good and solid profit growth for, well, to come to 1 billion underwriting profit in UK. I think we would lead to competitive law limits, and that cannot be implemented like that. Actually, the analysts should know that. And as of further to Brexit, the pound has lost 25%. But it's right. We want to say with that the UK is a difficult market, but it's a very important insurance market, and where we want to work on a sustainable basis, and we can so. And in our mix through all divisions, of course, we are clearly envisage our target to returns, and we're going to make that possible. Oliver Süß from Bloomberg. Thank you. Good morning. I've got a few questions about PIMCO. How confident are you that the current trend that you see is going to continue? And you also said that one individual customer placed you 19 million in the former quarter. And could you say who that was and who came back to PIMCO? I think I remember we had such a similar case of an individual customer with a large volume in the past. I think we discussed about that in the past. And also I would like to have a short update on the joint ventures still outstanding in China and India, Baidu and Bajaj. And further to jobs, the question is that it comes step by step in IT and also claims management. It's going to continue, or will the systems be completed with the last two announcements? And also I have one final question about LV. They keep talking about Liverpool Victoria. It's a statement of joint venture. But ultimately, if I got it right, this will be selling of the P&C division to Allianz. Can you just explain what is the joint venture part of that story? Let me start with the last topic. While using the brand, we also have an interest in LV becoming a long-term partner in this general insurance joint venture, which is important in order to secure that LV on the life insurance business will be helped by us, because if they have access to alternative assets, then a local insurer in UK is not trivial to have asset liability management system state of the art that we set up in the past decade. And we want to help where LV wants to get support and where it makes sense with regard to reinsurance. This is designed for a long-term partnership. P&C is our core business, and that's why over time we are taking over the lead in this partnership. Local market intimacy and global competence partner of Allianz. That is the distribution. Then also job cuts. I mean, let me put it like this in order to state that clearly. We're going to be driven by the digitalization, where we're driven into an industrialization, where we have to continue our improvement of the profitabilities, Mr. Süß. So we have to optimize the business model of Allianz, be it in Allianz Technology, be it in the OEs. And there's permanently, we have to optimize our business. That won't go away. Why I'm saying that Because in our industry, people are used that we have like a pick cycle. Every 5 to 7 years, we have restructuring, and then a few years, it will run normal. And out of this cycle, which is only not only bad for our employees, but it's also very bad for our customers and market appearance, we want to leave that cycle. We want to continuously manage, like in other industries, to improve our productivity. That means moving away from cyclical restructuring, moving towards to continuous profitability increases. That's why, you know, sometimes people say that it's like a bloodbath. We never have that. But of course we need to say, okay, this function has to be developed further, and for that we need to set up an automation, and that of course will have an influence on the business model, and we're going to have these changes. And Judge and Baidu, there's nothing new. Judge is our partner in India. Baidu, we are waiting for a decision on the topic of licensees, and it's also because that the chairman of the regulator is unfortunately sitting in jail. That's why there's not any change to be expected. And PIMCO, that's also a question on you know, reading the coffee. And I mean, we're really happy to look at these this result and the success per month. 10 billion inflows. I think the remark about the big customer was just to say that this trend cannot be repeated, you know, that we cannot expect this to happen more often. And we would never comment individual customer relationships and capital investments. It was just, we just mentioned it to understand that the rhythm is like 10 billion and that it was an outstanding peak. When it comes to the long term of forecast, I think it's extremely difficult, given the political scenario in the US and other areas, and also to the question, what does the interest policy of ECB and Fed is doing, and please allow me to forgive me, but I can't say that 2018 would look the same. We cannot do that. Thank you. Sure, Mr. Süß. Michael Ratner from Ratcam. Yeah, I would like to know, Mr. Bethe, the acquisition now is much smaller than the figures mentioned in the past quarters. Was that it, or do you have any further plans? I mean, you do not have an M&A budget, but maybe you can give a figure. Then I also would like to know, and I think the question was mentioned a little before, whether PIMCO is recovering in the long run. I mean, if you look at a few, when you take the big mandate where you didn't say anything where it came from when you take it out, then the net inflow would have been, you know, reduced. And then I would have a question about Italy. Banks are in a difficult situation, and would it have effects on Allianz in terms of possible impairments on bonds? And also, Anbang in China is being traded as an interest, a potential for the takeover of HSA, only for assets. But could you imagine that Chinese insurers someday, but also in Germany, would be working and as a competitor and operating business?
Highly interesting questions. Thank you very much for them. So first of all, PIMCO sustained recovery. So coming back, PIMCO recovery, yeah, we believe PIMCO has recovered, but independent of this individual major customer, the net inflow has remained positive, because from 2013 until last year, we had a continuously negative flow, and we've also grown continuously in the core products. Of course, there were some influences in special funds and large funds, and we need to make sure that over the next years we will have continuous growth in our traditional and new products. And that is what our PIMCO team is working on in an excellent way. Then Chinese insurers in Germany, well, we have to wait and see. Also, when it comes to Anbang, we don't have any detailed image about what's going on in China in this regard. And Mr. Rutko, was there still a question open? Yeah, can you still hear me? Yeah, there were still two questions. One about the Italian banks, the risks, and for Allianz, and then the topic of whether major acquisitions would be coming. Some LV was a smaller acquisition, so maybe you could say something about the M&A budget. Okay, thank you very much. We had some technical difficulties here, but no. Okay, Italian banks, no, we don't have any major exposure which might get dangerous for us in any way. And when it comes to mergers and acquisitions, we don't comment on this. Many of the rumors have come up from someplace else, not from us. We have a very disciplined approach of looking at M&A. We would like to grow in P&C. The goal's unchanged. And we said we want to grow, especially in areas as in the UK, where we have a good local operation but haven't reached the right scale. And that is exactly what fits here with LV. And we don't have a minimum budget. We want to invest the statement that I've given you before. It holds true. As long as prices for acquisitions are so high, we need to make sure that the synergies justify any kind of acquisition. And in spite of our systematic approach of scanning the market, we haven't found the right fit from a strategic and economic point of view. But we're continuously investing in different countries, so even though the individual investments might not be that large, we're systematically investing across the board. Think about the bank partnerships in Asia, for example, or those that we have in Europe. So when talking about growth, we're not only talking about M&A all the time, and we don't have the necessity to spend money at any case. Mr. Lema? Yeah, I would like to add that PIMCO had inflows of 20 billion in the first quarter and 30 in the second, taking it out. It still looks like a very positive trend for me, even if I take out this major investment and continues the development that we've had in the past four quarters. Revenues have significantly increased over the course of the year, and I think that PIMCO is on an excellent level right now, and I believe that if you look at what other asset managers, also large ones in the U.S., the figures they are reporting right now, I don't think we have to hide against them. Has that answered your questions at least completely, Mr. Rutko? Yeah, thank you very much. You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, please press asterisk or star 1. We'll now have the next question from Reuters, Alexander Hübner. Good morning, Alexander Hübner of Reuters. Three questions from my side. You said you were mainly interested in P&C, but is there any reason why you're not looking for, or why you don't have entered into a stake in the life health business of Liverpool Victoria? Didn't you want that, or were they against it? And then the partnership with Friendly Societies, I mean, in Germany we also have insurances of that nature, and you said you want to, if you say you want to cooperate with them, would that also hold true for Germany? And then if you say you don't need to spend money all the time on acquisitions, would that mean after you announced that, after you had the first buyback, would that mean that shareholders of Allianz can assume further share buybacks over the next few years now that Mr. Wemmer told us that there is a surplus of 2 billion again? Mr. Hübner, good morning. Smart questions. Share buyback, to get this off the table, we have a share buyback program which we've announced and which we're in the process of implementing, and we also said that we have a clear goal for our shareholders' equity yield. If that builds up, the return needs to increase, and if that's not the case, we've always told that we'll hand this back to our shareholders at the right point in time, but we haven't reached this point because we're only 4 months after the first share buyback, so we'll look at the development. And then the friendly societies, I think the world will change over time, and if friendly societies say in PNC or Life Health we need a strong partner, then they can certainly find our phone number quickly, and we're willing to support them. And the other topic, life insurance, well, it's about a partnership in PNC with LV. In the UK, we're not involved in Life Health, and we don't want to be involved in this business there, but we want to stay in PNC here. Okay, thank you very much. Our next question from FAZ Riddickson. Well, Mr. Beta, I would like to link up to what we were talking about, the friendly societies. You said before that the antagonism has vanished there and Allianz can be a partner. And with your last statement, you've opened the door to this quite a bit. So is what you've done in the UK kind of a blueprint for further approaches? As you've complained about the high prices and the model of joint ventures of a give and take could be a possibility to get out of the classic merger and acquisition setup, so that you ask the mutual insurances or friendly societies that they could call you, so that you might be looking at this group of competitors in general. Well, I mean, I was kind of joking in that a bit, but in a digital world, that we're headed into and where we're talking about ecosystems, the traditional questions as to how a business model is set up, that you're doing everything yourself from customer acquisition through contract management, through running call centers, claims management, you're programming your own IT and all this, I think that will dissolve, and there could be different business forms saying, in the future, we'll focus on, say, distribution and customer advice, and we source the whole topic of the insurance factory, or that we start to outsource our capital investment to partners. And what we can find out, it would be through a captive of a large industrial company. They have their own insurance. They say, okay, you can do the capital investment for us, or in this case, in cooperation with the friendly society. The borderlines are blurring, and we realize that in many countries along the value chain, we have abilities, be it capital investment, so Allianz Investment Management, be it reinsurance. All these areas, we can create added value, and no one can afford to say we won't be working with them even though they are much better, because you need top performance in every element of the value chain. And that is why I say the borders will dissolve a bit, and we're willing and able to offer certain services, be it IT, be it capital investment, to partners who have a more creative approach about thinking who they are and what they want to do. Our next question is for Jonas Hopper of Versicherungsbrief. Good morning from my side. I have a question. It's a little bit more of a special question. I heard that Allianz handed out an underwriting ban in the meat industry in Germany, so I wanted to find out whether this is true, because you wouldn't be underwriting any fire risks in those industries, and if this could also be the case in other areas, because there were some major claims, and then there was also the rumor that Allianz was interested in Gas Natural in Spain with a price of $1.5 billion, and whether you can say anything about this. Thank you for the question. To be honest, I can't answer the meat question. We'll hand this to the German colleagues, and maybe they can bring the answer. Mr. Knopf's team will answer this. Unfortunately, I don't know that answer. When it comes to Spain, which refers, this is for the Canada, together with Canada Pension Plan, we want to invest into the Gasnosa distribution business, and the figures are included in our media release. We'll take a 20% equity share of the distribution network, or Mr. Wemmer, you explain this, 20% together with the Canadians. They take two-thirds, we take one-third, but together 20%. Okay, and 1.5 billion is also correct, and the transaction is to be implemented in January of next year. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you, please press star 1 in order to ask a question. The next question by Christian Schnell of Handelsblatt. Good morning, Mr. Beate, Mr. Wemmer. I have two questions, even though we've talked about it time and again. Another question about LV. At the beginning, you said you could imagine such a model also for other European countries. So what would be the countries that could come into play here? There was talk about Italy, for example, time and again, where something like this could be useful. And the second question then about the share buyback program that you announced in February. You were talking about a tune of up to 3 billion euros now, half a year later. How much of that, or how much have you bought back in the meantime? Thank you very much. I'll answer the first question, and then Mr. Wemmer will talk about the second part. Well, we kind of talk about individual countries, but we've had all kinds of partnership transactions. For example, in France, we've taken over Eurocortage and had a commercial partnership in France. So it's not that unusual that we have such a partnership, but we don't have any specific countries or partners inside. It was just the principal remark that through the competitive pressure, through the lower interest rates, through the pressure towards digitalization, value chains are breaking up and are being resorted, and that offers a major opportunity for Allianz. Now, Mr. Wemmer, share buyback. Well, as of today, we should be at around 1.65 billion or so. The first part was up 1.3 billion up to May, and then up to the 3 billion, we will hand this over in segments to banks who then go through the programs, and the implementation will be finalized probably by the end of, it should be finalized by the end of the year. And that is the current situation. And if I may add another question. You will reach think you can reach the 3 billion? Yeah, that's what I said. So we have automatic programs which we hand out to banks. So if you set this on automatic execution, there is no way back. Okay, thank you. Has this answered your question? Mr. Schnell? Yeah, thank you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have any further questions, so this ends today's question and answer session. I'll now hand back to Thomas Atkins for his final remarks. Yeah, well, we'd like to thank you cordially for your participation in this press call today, and we wish all of you a successful day. Thank you very much for your participation. Ladies and gentlemen, this closes today's conference call of Allianz. We would like to thank you for your participation and wish you a beautiful day. Thank you very much.